We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's very difficult to give you a concrete idea and schedule until we understand exactly how much time we're going to have available to us. We are committed to playing as many baseball games as we can possibly play in 2020, consistent with the public health considerations. We are open and have had a very positive dialogue with the Players Association about adjustments to the traditional scheduling rules that would allow us to play more games, allow us to do travel a little more aggressively than we've done in the past, or we do traditionally, in order to maximize the number of games that we can deliver to our fans. We're also focused on the postseason with a shorter regular season. I think it opens up the possibility of enhanced postseason play, maybe more play. We were talking about more postseason play even before this happened.
Okay, that's the Commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, on MLB Network today. And I'm really no Rob Manfred fan. I think he absolutely was way too timid in dealing with the Astros scandal and was kowtowed to the players' union and back down there and just blew that whole situation. I don't think he's really shown himself to be a very good commissioner up until this point. I do believe, and this is going to segue into the conversation, Chris, about this being the date that was circled on the calendar for opening day. As Jeff said in his update, we're about 20 minutes away from what would have been the first pitch of the Pirates' 2020 season down in Tampa at the Tropicana Dome against Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows, and the Rays. I had tickets for that game. We had planned a trip down there, a nice little sojourn to Tampa, get away from you and everybody else, some nice weather, some beach time, excellent restaurants down there. Go check out the Rays and Pirates today and have some fun in the sun. And then, obviously, the real world took over, and that went out the window. And I'll say this about the Pirates season, you know, Chris. I think what's going to come out of this for me, at least, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say, is that I was looking at this season in a pessimistic light. I thought they were absolutely headed towards last place. I didn't really have a lot of enthusiasm or excitement for the start of baseball or the Pirates in particular going into this year. Yeah, they cleaned house. They got rid of the GM. They got rid of Clint Hurdle. But it wasn't enough for me to feel really gung-ho about this season. And now I think what's going to happen is when baseball does reconvene and when they restart, or not for them restart, but when they launch this season, I think I'm going to be just so happy that professional sports are back, that baseball is being played, that the Pirates are back on the field and we're going to have games to watch or listen to and dissect, that like they're going to get a little bit of a pass, I think, this year.
Well,
I just don't feel like when we kick off the baseball season, everybody is going to be just so happy to have baseball back that I don't think the critical lens is really going to be out at all.
For the first week of the season, when sports are happening, and even if, like, because this is my belief, even if they're happening, I don't think you're going to get a scenario where the country feels normal again. It's going to be a thing happening. Like post 9/11, it's going to be a thing happening where you know that there's still a lot of stuff that's messed up, but people are going to be happy that sports are back for about a week. And then the first time that Derek Shelton makes a bad move in game or something like that, or the first time a Pirates pitcher gets blown up in a game for 9 runs in the first 3 innings, something absurd like that, people are going to go right back to just being extremely peeved. I think if you're a fan of a team that was projected to do big things this year, that was going to be a surefire playoff contender, this has got to feel like an even more bitter pill than it might for Pirates fans, or say Tigers fans, Orioles fans, Royals fans, teams that are very obviously rebuilding. I think it's a lot tougher to be a fan of a team that was projected to be very good this season right now than one that was middle of the road or worse.
The Pirates season was already looked at as, to me, a developmental season or a wash, even before any of this happened. Because I'll make this comparison. Like, do you think that the Astros, the first time they take the field in, like, L.A. or New York, if it's, like, within the first couple of weeks of the season, do you still think they're going to get booed and destroyed?
I hope so. That was the first thing I thought of when you started bringing up this dynamic, like, 2 minutes ago, was they're going to get off the hook. If any team is going to skate or not is not fortunate that this happened, but is going to benefit from it, it's probably them.
Well, I think the same is true of the Pirates. I think the same is true of them that there are going to be, I believe, there were like negative expectations maybe if this were just a typical traditional baseball season. And I really just think that people are just going to be happy that it's back. And that the season is going to take on a much softer, kind of gentler feel to it. I
don't know. Part of things getting back to normal, though, is people's emotions toward a sport becoming more normalized again. Like, this is unprecedented, obviously. I think we've all used that word too many times to describe it, but it's true. This is different than 9/11, or this is different than any other sort of thing. I can't even think of something else in my lifetime that's really disrupted sports. It's even different than, obviously, a work stoppage in any sport, where that's the closest thing, where there actually is no season, like the 04-05, or 03-04 hockey season, or whatever it was, 04-05. This is something that is so seismic in terms of how it is impacting the country and the world that it's hard to compare it to anything in the past. But I do think fans, once they get one slice of normalcy, right, are going to go back to viewing the teams and the games and everything that happens through that same lens. Case in point, like today, it's 70 degrees out and sunny, right? It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone's got weird, like these odd rules that we're all still trying to get used to about social distancing, but I took the dogs on a walk, which is allowable, and I saw way more people out doing the normal kind of things
that
everyone does.
Yeah,
thing was everyone was a little bit far away from each other.
I think not only is it, okay, so maybe we disagree a little bit on that like you think that maybe quicker than I do, fans are going to get back conditioned to being a sports fan and ripping into the team.
Don't you think they want to get back to that? Like, that's part of why I'm saying it, too. I think fans, there's going to be a desire.
I know I was a Mets fan coming out of 9/11, and it started in Pittsburgh, and they got red hot. They got super hot. They, I think, swept the Pirates here. They went back to New York, the first game back in New York City after 9/11. Piazza hits that dramatic home run that brings baseball back. They beat the Braves. And they sputtered, like, in the last, like, week or two of the season and missed the playoffs. And I just remember, even as a teenager, where maybe you're more like, you know, you're kind of more in your own like myopic bubble, and you're more selfish, and you have a harder time like really coming to grips with what's happening big picture. I remember not even being that mad, and I remember even like, as a Mets fan that hated the Yankees, being like, you know what, if the Yankees beat the Diamondbacks in the World Series, I don't even really care. Good for them, given everything
All right,
that's
well, maybe
happened.
Maybe this tells me more about myself and more about you. When I watched that game, or that World Series, right, from the perspective of a guy who always hated the Yankees growing up, I knew that the city was going through something unfathomable and was still trying to heal. And yet I, 7 hours drive away from New York City, 400 some miles away from all that, desperately, and I mean desperately, wanted the Diamondbacks to beat them and was thrilled when it happened. They were every bit, despite what had gone on, they were every bit the loathsome, big money, you'll never be us, arrogant fans, Yankees, that they always had been to me. There was no change. And it was very comforting to view them through that lens. I think it would have been weird for me. I would have felt like I had not processed the shock of 9/11 if I had been like, oh, that's nice that the Yankees are
so
in.
So then if you still had the capacity to look at this, what's going on, and translating it through a strictly baseball filter and looking at it strictly from a sports standpoint, then this is, I believe, a blessing in disguise for teams like the Pirates. Because shorter season, more playoff teams, increases their odds of actually having a good year. Tonight on AT&T Sportsnet, they're airing the 2011 opener. That's Clint Hurdle's first year. That team, coming off 105 losses, lost 90-plus games. But at the 100-game point of the season, 100 games into the season, they were 53-47. They didn't really fall apart until the middle of August and into September. Last year's Pirates team for 75, 80 games was not bad. And so if that's what we're looking at, take what Manfred said to heart. Fewer games, probably more playoff teams. We were thinking about expanding the playoffs even before this happened. Then maybe there is hope for the Pirates season. Doesn't look good on paper, roster-wise, but it's more random when there are fewer games. And there are definitely recent examples of Pirates history that show that and back that up.
If you are going to have any sort of a random truncated season with more playoff teams, but you are going to attempt to have something resembling a trade deadline, if you were the Pirates, would you go for it? If you were having a surprising start to a short season? What I'm saying is, would you sacrifice the long term and view a shortened season where you might, a very odd season where you might have a chance at it, as being worth going for? Like any World Series or any playoff ticket is worth trying to punch? Even a fluky one like this that's probably never going to come around again?
Yeah.
Or hopefully never come around
again? Yeah,
I mean,
if we're looking at a season where they put eight teams from every league in the playoffs and it's super short series at the start of the postseason, it's like a best of three, yeah. Yeah, then I don't think I'd want to, like, 40 games or 50 games into a condensed season, if the Pirates were one of the surprise teams, I don't think I'd want to rip that away from fans here. I just don't. And maybe that would be advantageous in the long run, but like, I'm also trying to heal wounds with fans here.
And you wouldn't be doing yourself any favors in that healing wounds department if you were to do that.
Yeah, I don't think they would, personally. I think that might be a situation where the owner of the team and the president of the team got involved and said, we got to ride this out and see where it takes us.
That would be, I mean, God, if they were...
Craig, are you disagreeing with any of this so far?
No, they would be all for it.
You're pre and post. I know you're hoping they play 162 games, which is unrealistic.
I want all of it, yes. You are correct about that. Do I think fans are going to be willing to rip players?
Right from the beginning.
No, I think you have a bit of a grace period, but by the end of even a shortened season, I think they'll be back to playing the same trumpets they were before about what they didn't like about the team.
Okay. How about having a better chance in a short season with more playoff teams? You buy that?
I do, because you look at the small sample where the Pirates pitching, which was at the end of the year disastrous, but for that first, what was it, month and a half stretch, was on an elite level pace.
Pirates, Chris, what do you think the Pirates' record was through 100 games last year?
I'm going to go with...
Craig, you covered this team. You know the number?
52-48.
Not off the top of my head, no, but I'd say under 500.
They were. They were 46-54. Because by the 100-game point, they had started their free fall. The All-Star game was at the 89-game mark. They were 44-45. So in a 100-game season, they would have collapsed in like the last 10 games.
Conversely, by the way, with all of this, if they play a short season with more playoff teams and the Pirates still don't even come close, does that goodwill evaporate and people kind of throw their hands up and say, oh my God, they let more than half the league in and you still didn't even come close to it?
I think there could be, yeah, Chris, I think there would be some people that looked at this as like a special opportunity that they missed out on. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Man, I think it would be tempting if you're Ben Cherington, if you think, like, you get, what, a third of the way through a 100-game season or halfway through, and you're five games over just going for it and pushing your chips into the middle and saying, can we last long enough to get to the dance in a 50-game sprint and then see what happens?
I started this segment by saying that I was pretty not just because of the Pirates, but I was kind of in an ambivalent, apathetic place with baseball. Like, the only emotions I was really experiencing with baseball throughout the offseason were anger because of how the Astros situation was handled and because, you know, the Pirates payroll, the meager payroll, and just the whole economic structure of baseball, how there can be teams like the Pirates in the $50 million, $60 million range and then teams that are spending $200 million, and just drives me crazy that that can happen and that's allowed. So that's kind of where I was at with the sport. However, I do find myself every year when opening day comes, like, having a little, I have an extra feeling, I think, when opening day actually gets here. And
why
it doesn't it doesn't last long. But I think as a sports fan, it's kind of a seminal moment every year. Like, okay, baseball's back. That's cool. I missed it. It means that the weather is starting to turn. Spring, summer, being outside.
That's what it means. That's what it means for me.
It triggers all of that for me.
It's way more about the ancillary things that baseball signifies that opening day portends. It's not about the actual sport or the opening day itself for me. It really never is.
Even in seasons where there was the expectation that they would be good?
Maybe, okay, I'll concede, like, maybe in seasons where, like, Neil Walker walked off that 1-0 game, what year was that, 2016 or 15? Liriano started,
yeah,
so it would have been 15, I think.
I think that's 15, yeah.
Okay, so Neil Walker walked it off. That team won 98 games.
Because 16, he's a Met.
Right, that's right. Yeah, John Neese was here. I know, that hurts. And I remember being more excited from a baseball perspective, but it really does, and that's why it's going to be so strange this year. It really does signify, oh, you're going to go out with your friends more often, you're going to be at, like, beer gardens, you're going to be making a baseball game sort of the center of just a social evening, maybe. I could, you know, I was thinking,
I'm
going to
binge on hot dogs.
I was going to take Lennox to more games because he's going to get a little bit older and have maybe a better conception of he's watching something, all that stuff. So this year, it's going to be a little bit bittersweet from that perspective.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.